If you have your Bibles, turn with me tonight to the book of Romans chapter 8. I want to continue the message I started this morning on the battle of the mind. And I'll be talking a lot about the mind and things we need to be doing with it, because I think this is a very important battlefield where we need to get some victories. How we think describes how we are. There was a cartoon I used to watch when I was a kid. There was one guy on that cartoon, no matter what was happening, he was always the one, "It'll never work. We're doomed." And, you know, we got some people that every time you talk to them, you don't want to. I mean, I've gone to camp meeting and be excited, walk through the door, and by the time I made the sanctuary, I'd be going, "Whoa." Because I'd make the mistake of asking some preacher, "How you doing?" And he'd tell me. It got so bad one night, I just went on down to the altar. I didn't even wait. They didn't have to sing a song or nothing. We just went on down front and went to praying, because we was all messed up the time we got to the sanctuary. Everybody was going downhill. Glory. But listen to what Paul writes to the church at Romans. "For they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh, but they that are after the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. For to be carnal minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Because a carnal mind is enmity against God. For it is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can it be." Father, we thank you tonight for your word. We ask, God, that you would touch this word with your anointing. Minister today, God, through me. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. First of all, I touch a couple of things I had this morning. We are responsible not only for our actions, but also our thoughts. Now, preacher, how could God do that? Because God knows the thought and the intent of your heart. If you remember, Sarah laughed within herself, and God told Abraham, your wife is laughing at me. So even when you do it inside yourself, God knows what's going on inside of you. Well, I throw something at you, won't cost you nothing, but the devil can't read your mind. He does not have the ability God has. If he did, he would be equal to God, and he's not equal to God. Well, preacher, how does he know when things are going wrong? You tell him. I guess one of the greatest lessons I got on that was from a 93-year-old woman at Buell, 92, 93, Miss Daisy Chanel. She jumped up one night and said, "Y'all pray for me. The devil's attempting me." I felt good because I thought I was the only one, because everybody else was jumping up talking about, "I'm saved, sanctified, filled with the Holy Ghost, on my way to heaven. I ain't got them desires I used to have. And I'm still fighting them desires." Glory. And she got up and said, "She's getting tempted." I got excited at church. I ran up and said, "Sister Daisy, what the devil tempt you with?" She said, "I ain't telling you. He's a listening." Now that made sense to me. Glory. Hello? Amen. But the reality is, church, we are responsible for our thoughts. If you remember this morning, I pointed out to you that God looked at the world and said every thought and intent of their heart was on evil continually. You know what God said? He said all they did was think about ugly stuff, evil stuff. Amen. Can I tell you, we're living in a world that's caught up in all that junk? I mean, let's face it. Even our kids' games, they got to kill somebody or blow something up, and they can't make no points. Amen. Whatever happened to Pac-Man, where he was just eating stuff? Glory. Super Mario, where we were jumping turtles and sliding through ice and trying to save a princess. Hello? Now let me go a little bit farther back, when all you could play was ping pong and tennis. Amen. And those kids are going, "Huh?" And it was just little white marks bouncing around on the screen. Glory. But the reality is, we can be condemned with our thoughts. Jesus specifically condemns the sin of thought. And the temptation of sin thought is one thing that we have to take under control. And we have to get in control or that thought will take us out. We are accountable for our thoughts, and the thoughts are so important because actions are birthed out of what we think. Amen. We need to understand, church, that that's where we are today. If we don't watch where we are, we're going to end up with all kinds of problems because sin thoughts will make us lose our devotion to Christ. Quite simply, we control the mind, controls the person. Your thoughts dictate what you will do. Amen. You know what? The Bible tells us in Romans 8, 6, and 7, for to be carnal minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. The Amplified Bible said it this way. Now the mind of the flesh, which in sense and reason without the Holy Spirit, is death. Death that comprises all the miseries arising from sin, both here and hereafter. But the mind of the Holy Spirit is life, and the soul peace, both now and forever. You know what it said? When you get your mind lost in the Spirit, you're not going to be hung up on carnal stuff. And you say, well, preacher, can you prove that? That's an Amplified Bible. How about King James? Walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. What's he saying? If I get my mind and let the Spirit lead me, I make proper decisions. When I'm making a decision, if I pray about it, let God be involved in the decision, I won't go wrong in what God is leading me to do. Could you say amen? And then I can hold on to the scriptures. The steps of a righteous man are ordered by God. If I'm praying and following the Spirit, then I've got a right to believe God's going to take me where I need to be, whether it's a fiery furnace. Hello? I'm saying, wait a minute, I don't want to go to a fiery furnace. I bet you in the latter years, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego would have never gave anything for what they learned in that furnace. Glory. Come on, church. Because for the rest of their life, they'd go by that furnace going, you know, I spent the night in that thing, it running wide open, and we just had church. Glory. Amen. Some of y'all missed that. That was a time to shout. Some characteristics of thoughts of the mind that are wicked. First, they are devoted to earthly things. Philippians 3:18. For many walk, of whom I have told you often, and now tell you even weeping, that they are the enemies of the cross of Christ, whose end is destruction, whose God is their belly, and whose glory is in their shame, whose mind is on earthly things. Hello? So what are you talking about? These are evil people. Evil minds continually keep you thinking about earthly things. That's why I have a problem with preachers trying to tell you it's important for you to be rich and have things. Church, living for God's not about stuff. Nothing wrong with having stuff, but that's not what makes you a Christian. You're not a better Christian because you got a better car. You're not a better Christian because you got more money. You're not a better Christian because you've done something different. You're a good person because of the relationship you have with God, and that's not determined by what you own in this world. If that be the case, Jesus was the worst Christian ever walked on the face of the earth. Dude didn't have a place to lay his head. He was buried in a borrowed tomb. He basically lived the whole time he was alive broke. Hello? Come on, church. Y'all get excited. I know this ain't what you want to hear. Y'all want to hear about how rich y'all gonna get. Listen, rich ain't money. The first man I ever preached a revival for probably never had two suits in his life that matched. Glory. He probably had a couple of suits, but they didn't match because somebody gave him a coat, somebody gave him pants in the same color, he wore them. Glory. It was obvious they weren't made from the same material, but he was happy, proud to have them because he didn't have a whole lot. He pastored little churches. And I'll never forget, I used to go talk to him. One of the guys that knew me said, why do you spend so much time with that old retired preacher over in Brookwood? I said, because that old retired preacher's taught me more about God than some of these big jocks have been running around here throwing up big numbers. Because I said, he was faithful where he was, and he understood he did not have the ability to pastor a large number of people, but he was faithful to do the job gave him to do, and he was faithful to pray and seek the face of God, and he knew more about calling on God than anybody I knew. Why? Because he had a relationship with him. Amen. Glory. You see, people, they don't think of God. Psalms 10, Verse 3. And the wicked boast of their heart's desire, and bless of the covetous, whom the Lord abhor. For the wicked, through his pride of his countenance, will not seek after God. God is not in all his thoughts. His ways are always grievous. His judgments are far above, out of his sight. For all his enemies, he puffet them. What it says, you ever been around people that is constantly in a stress mode? Grieving, got a problem, never anything going good, everything's always bad. It's because they've got a mind that's not held on God. Now, church, all of us have problems, and when you get like that, no matter how hard you try, you're going to hurt. But if you get around somebody that's constantly in the pain mode, just can't wait to tell you about their worst problem that just happened, and then next week they'll have one worse. Come on, church. Not yet. When those people start acting that way, their mind has gone away from God. Come on, church. That's good preaching. I don't know why y'all ain't shouting. Glory. Notice this. Not only do they not think of God, but because they're not thinking of God, they're blinded. They can't see what God's doing. They can't see what God wants for their life. They can't have vision. Because the Bible tells me in 2 Corinthians 4:4, in whom the God of this world, little g, hath blinded the minds of them that believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine into them. You say, what are you talking about? Satan is blinding them to the point they can't see. And what did the Bible say about people without vision? For people without vision do what? They perish. And Satan likes blind people. But I like the song, Amazing Grace. I once was blind, but now I see. Why? Because God's light has shined into the life, and the darkness has been turned into light, and suddenly I see a presence and a power and a glory of Almighty God that can take us out. Could you say amen? Amen. Glory. In order to win victory, our flesh and sin, we must win the victory of our mind. Glory. Luke 24:44, and he said unto them, these are the words which I spake unto you while I was yet with you, that all things must be fulfilled which were written in the law of Moses and in the prophets and in the Psalms concerning me. Then opened he their understanding that they might understand the scriptures. You say, preacher, what are you talking about? That word understanding comes from a Greek word, gnosis, which simply means the mind. God opened their minds so they could understand. Do you know why some people can't understand Scripture? It's not because it's just in King James, because they read it something else, they still don't really understand what it's saying, because your understanding is open through the anointing of the Spirit. Faith cometh by hearing, hearing by the Word. Now, we have preachers that preach that and tell you just keep quoting Scripture. Get your scripture memorized and keep quoting it, quoting it, quoting it. And you know what you're going to do? You're going to be able to quote a scripture. It is not going to increase your faith one iota. If you read that scripture right, it said faith cometh by hearing, hearing rhema, a divine utterance. How many of you have been to church a long time? You ever read a scripture 1,000 times and you just read through it, don't think a lot about it, and then you're somewhere, Sunday school, church, and somebody read it, and whoo, something in you jumps, because all of a sudden it's not just words on a page, but it is as if God has spoken directly to your heart those words, and those words begin to put faith in you. That is a divine utterance. That's a rhema word, and that is what brings faith in our life, and we need to understand our mind is open, our understanding is open, and suddenly we receive the mind of Christ in that situation that makes us conquerors and overcomers and gives us faith that'll move mountains. Woo. Listen, with salvation comes a new mind, a whole new way of thinking. Ephesians 4:22, that you put off concerning the former conversation, the old man, which is corrupt according to the deceitful lust, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind. How many of you remember what you was like before you got saved? I knew a whole lot of words before I got saved I can't use now. Huh? I got saved, the preacher took me off the side and he said, now you got to get rid of all them four-letter words. I know a lot of Christians did. WRK was the first one they got rid of. Work. Glory. Hello? Hey, I was fluent in the other language. I had some five-letter words. I thought I could keep them for a while, and then I realized I couldn't. Glory. Come on, church. Some of y'all know the Sullivan guy that comes here every once in a while and visits with us. Randy and I went to school together. His wife went to school with Frieda, and their son was the guy that showed up playing Big Al. Randy will tell folks something that happened when we were in junior high. I got mad one day in the hall. The principal was getting on to me, and I followed him down the hall, calling him everything but a white man. They scattered because they was afraid I was going to get hit with lightning walking down the hall talking to him. I'm not bragging about that, but that was the way my mind run. That was what I thought you're supposed to do. When I got saved, I didn't have to have somebody tell me I couldn't use them words. I had to learn that those words had to be gotten out of my life. They were a habit formed in my life that I needed to get rid of. And I had to uproot that habit out of my life. And all of a sudden, I began to realize my conversation can no longer be of this world, but it must be of the world that is to come. And I put those words out of my mind, out of my thought pattern, out of my life. And guess what? My Bible tells me if I'll pray and believe, God will help me. Old things will pass away, and behold, all things will become new when Christ begins to move in our life and in our mind. Glory. Hallelujah. This is the mind of Christ, is that we walk in his presence and his power, his glory. Amen. Romans 12:2, and be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may be able, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. You know what it says about that? This is your reasonable service. God said, transforming your mind is what I asked you to do. Church, salvation is God's work. It's his grace. We do nothing to be saved except belief. But the transforming of our mind is our work. It's where we make up our mind. I'm not reading that anymore. I'm not listening to that anymore. Can I tell you something, folks? Some of you people tickle me to death. You get on the kids for listening to their junk, but yet when you get in your car, you got your junk on. I walked in Cracker Barrel the other night and had country music on. God said, well, at least they know what kind of music to play. And they were singing about somebody being drunk, leaving his wife. And I'm going, that's great stuff. Back in the late 80s, early 90s, they got this thing about backmasking. They said you backmask rock music and it give you messages, and I actually heard some of them. But some of the songs said backmasking, you have to backmask, you play them forward, they give you a message. Glory. Amen. But they backmasked country music, and the guy's wife came home, his dog lived, he got his job back. Ah, come on, church. Did you mind the right place? Glory. Listen, to be free from evil thoughts is God's best gift. That was actually written by a playwright that got saved. But he said to be relieved of the evil thoughts of this world is the greatest gift God could ever give you. Amen. To get to that place where you don't think about evil stuff. Listen, the new mind in Christ. 1 Corinthians 2:16, for who hath known the mind of the Lord that he may instruct him, but we have the mind of Christ. When we begin to think like Christ think, we don't have to wear a band. What would Jesus do? We'll do what Jesus would have done because we're thinking the way he thought. Come on, church. We have to sit around and decide what we're going to do. We do it automatically because we're unctioned by the Spirit to do the right thing. Amen. Bro, would you reach up there and just turn that air conditioner off? I got them fanning, now they're putting on sweaters. Ain't but one of them running, so just turn it off. Glory. I thought it was amazing this morning when I first went back that I didn't do anything. Everybody quit fanning. Tell me your mind don't control you. Somebody else turned the air on like you froze some people before church was over, but all I did was make it took the cover off and moved a couple of numbers and walked back up here and left it off. Lord. And everybody quit fanning. Next thing you know, they're talking about getting cold, but then somebody else actually turned it on. And it got cold toward the end of the service. But when I first walked back up here while the choir was singing, I hadn't done a thing. Glory. Won't work no more, y'all, though, but I couldn't look now. Glory. Listen, Isaiah said it this way, Isaiah 55:8-13. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, saith the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. For as the rain cometh down and the snow from the heavens and returneth not thither, but water the earth and make it bring forth bud, that it may give seed to the sower and bread to the eater. So shall my word be that goeth forth out of my mouth. It shall not return unto me void, but it shall accomplish that which I please, and it shall prosper in the things whereunto I sent it. Amen. You say, preacher, what are you talking about? Listen to a mind that has been transformed. For ye shall go out with joy and be led forth with peace. The mountains and the hills shall break forth before you into singing, and the trees in the field shall clap their hands. Instead of the thorn shall come up of the fir tree, and instead of the briar shall come up the myrtle tree, and ye shall be of the Lord for a name, for an everlasting sign that shall not be cut off. What did it say? When you start thinking about Christ, every day gets to be joy. You walk in a peace that pass all understanding. All the briars and the brambles and the problems of life begin to look less because you know God is greater than anything that comes your way. Hallelujah. Our way of thinking is elevated when our mind becomes a mind that leans into God. The renewing of the mind comes by the power of the Holy Spirit, submission to the Holy Spirit. Romans 8:5, for they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh, but they that are after the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. Amen. What are you talking about? When we begin to walk in the Spirit, it begins to help us to renew our mind. Why does it do that? Because the Spirit of God will lead, guide, and direct you into all truth. We find victory in the mind of spiritual by spiritual warfare. 2 Corinthians 10:4, for the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds, casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalted itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to be in the obedience of Christ. Thoughts in our mind can become strongholds. Remember I told you this morning, perception is reality. If you believe yourself to be broke, you're going to always be broke. I don't care if somebody gave you $1 million, you'd be broke. That's why people who win the lottery can't stay rich. They don't know how to handle money. They have the mindset of getting rid of money, and it goes through their hands faster than water go over Niagara Falls. You say, prove it. Read the statistics. The majority of people who win the lottery within 5 to 6 years are broke, have no friends in their family, won't have nothing to do with them because they didn't give them none of the money. Glory. And yet we got people go, oh, if I could just win the lottery, 5 years from now you'll be broke with no friends, no family, and nothing. But if you can get a hold of God, oh, you might not have a whole lot in 5 years, but you'll still have God. And it doesn't matter how old you get, you still got God. Come on, church. Amen. And God said you got to pull down the stronghold. We don't have to accept thoughts that we don't want to think. If you don't want to think it, you can change your thinking. You can't choose your relatives. But you can choose your thoughts. And the thoughts influence much more than our relatives. Hello? Mark 5:15. And they come to Jesus, seeing him that was possessed of the devil, and that the legion sitting and clothed and his right mind, and they were afraid. God can take a mind so tormented it don't even know where it's at. and in a moment's time, cleanse it to the point they straighten up and blow everybody's mind because of the way they're thinking. Come on, church. Amen. I don't know if Frieda will remember this, but I know a young man got saved down in Enterprise, Alabama. He still acts like half his fries ain't got any Happy Meal. But the first time I met him, his pastor introduced him to me, and he says he's going to be an evangelist. I said, huh? I said, that guy ain't got enough sense getting out of the rain. He said, I know. He said, but he said he's going to be an evangelist. I see him now. The guy still just as crazy as he ever was, but has revival and moves people. I've never understood it. He's preached all over the known world by invitation. People didn't even know him. And yet he still acts like after his friend. He got down there one night, took me, showed me his airplane he had bought. Want me to go up with him in the middle of the night. And I said, dude, I ain't flying with you in the daytime, much less at night. Glory. I love him. But I absolutely thought he was crazy until he turned himself over to God. And I'll never forget, he was preaching at a conference in Cleveland one time, and he got through preaching, coming out talking about how sorry a sermon he'd done, and they sold more tapes of that sermon than anybody else's. Why? Because he had a word from God, and it didn't matter where it came from as long as God was the one behind it, and it flowed through him and touched people, and they wanted it because it ministered to them. And we need to understand, when God gets in your mind, he can do great things. Could you say amen? Glory. I read a book when I first got saved. It was called They Speak With Other Tongues. It was a book written by a guy that worked for Life magazine. He had a doctorate degree in theology, and they sent him to research the Pentecostal charismatic movement of America. He gave them his writings and they fired him because he didn't tell them what they wanted to hear. They thought this man with this great education would go out and debunk everything these people were doing. And this was what he wrote in one of the chapters of the book. He said, I showed up at this little storefront. And he said, I'll be honest with you. I really didn't know what to expect, but I figured it wasn't going to be very much. He said, I walked in and sat down in the chair, folding chairs they had, and said, they got out these books and started singing. And he said, they sung them choruses over so much I had them memorized. Do y'all remember those days when we'd sing and we'd get a chorus and we'd sing it till we got the juice out, and then we'd sing another verse to get some juice back in the chorus and we'd whoop it out again? Glory. I can see some of y'all going, preacher. He said they sung like that a while. He said after a while I started singing with them because I had the songs. He said, finally they stopped. Some guy took up an offering and they sung another song. And he said, by the time they got through with it, I had it memorized. And he said, there was a gentleman stepped out. He said, he looked like he was one of the most uneducated men I ever met in my life. I later asked and found he had a second grade education. But this is what he wrote about that man. A doctorate degree in theology, but he said, this gentleman spoke with a depth of the scripture I had never comprehended in my life. Why? Because of the anointing of the mind of God that was in that pastor. This man's life was totally changed by a man with no education because the anointing of God took over and flowed through him and touched him and used him. Could you say amen? The way of thinking that should characterize us. Our thoughts should be of Jesus. Let this mind be in you, which is also in Christ Jesus. Philippians 2:5, I'm sorry. Amen. Our thoughts should be of eternity. Colossians 3:2, set your affections on things above, not the things of this earth. Church, if you were living to go to eternity, you wouldn't worry about whether you had to make the right choice down here or not, because you'd choose nothing that would keep you from going to heaven. Hello? What bothers me is we got church folks that believe the Lord's coming tomorrow and live like it's going to be 20 years from now, and they got all the time in the world to clean their life up. Honey, none of us knows when tomorrow's going to come. And there is no place called purgatory. As one Catholic priest preaching a funeral said, the bathroom of heaven where you flush your sins away. It doesn't exist. It is appointed unto man once to die and the judgment. And the judgment happens on the authority of where you are, what happened in your life, and where your life is and your mind is in Christ. Amen. Our thoughts should be on pure things. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall keep your hearts and your minds through Christ Jesus. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are of good report, whatsoever things are just, think on these things, and he will keep your mind in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on these. What are you talking about, preacher? If you ride down the road and all you do is listen to junk, then your thoughts are going to run to junk. We should mature in our thinking from when we were children. When I was a child, I spake as a child. I understood as a child. I thought as a child. But when I became a man, I put away childish things. You ever notice that a lot of problems people have is the fact that they've never grown up? Now, I know some of y'all are going to point your finger at me, and I don't care. I haven't grown up about some things, but I have grown up about some others. I'm not ever going to get old. That's a sad state of affairs, you get old. I might get to be 80 one day. I don't know. But if I get to be 80, I'm still going to be doing stuff. Come on, church. I get so tired of people saying, don't do that. Let me do it for you. As long as I'm breathing and I'm able, I'm doing it for myself. Hello? When you get so old, you can't do nothing. You're old. I'm not ever going to get that old. But we got some others that need the diaper changed, and they ought to be adults. When you do things that make you look like a child, then you realize that you need to mature your mind in Christ. And there's just a simple saying for that. Grow up. Oh, I messed up the whole sermon. We consistently believe in our thinking. Isaiah 26, thou wilt keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on him, because he trusts in thee. If I believe in God, I'll be in peace no matter what's going on. You say, preacher, you might die tomorrow, but I'll die in peace because I'm not worried about tomorrow. Hello? I like that old song. I'm not sure about tomorrow. But I know who holds my hand, and I know who's leading me. And if I die tonight, I know where I'm going to be. I think one of the greatest statements you'll ever hear from one of the greatest preachers I ever heard in my life, Billy Graham, when he was making one of his last public appearances, he was standing there and said, today I bought a new suit. I bought it to be buried in. I don't know when that's coming or when I'll wear that suit, but I know where I'm going when I put it on next time. Hallelujah. Glory. Why? Because I trust in God. And when you trust in God, you don't hold on to the rope. Y'all know we was all taught that. Well, when you get the end of the rope, tie a knot and hang on to it. A Christian just lets go of the rope, because I ain't supposed to be holding on to the rope anyway. I'm trusting in God. Glory. That's good preaching. Glory. Now, if you're hanging off the side of a building, that's a different story. But we're talking hypothetically speaking. Lord. We should be controlled in our thinking. 1 Peter 1:13, wherefore gird up the loins of your mind, be sober, and hope to the end for the grace that is to be brought unto you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. What did he say? He said, control your thinking. Guard what you put in here. I tell the young preachers, If you don't want to say something in the pulpit you don't need to say, quit saying it when you're not in the pulpit. Get it out of your head. Then you ain't got to worry about it coming back. He said, well, that's great. Where'd you learn that? From a guy that works on the radio. Because he said, just as sure as you don't watch it, you'll say something, get you arrested. Hello? I might not get arrested in church, but I could lose my job. Somebody said, well, when you was young, some people winked at actors. But it still wasn't an excuse for me to continue acting that way. I clean my mind and I control my mind. I control my thoughts. I control what goes in. And if I control what goes in, if I let the right things go in, the right things will come out. Glory. Oh, that's good preaching. Amen. 2 Peter 3, 1 and 2. The second epistle, beloved, I now write unto you, in both which I stir up your pure mind by way of remembrance, that ye may be mindful of the words which were spoken before by the holy prophets and the commandments of us, the apostles of the Lord and Savior. You know what he said? Of everything else, put your mind on him, think about him, keep your mind in him, and everything else will take care of itself. Church, if we could ever realize the battle of the mind is won in where we put our thoughts. If our thoughts and the intent of our heart are on God. Psalms 1. Blessed is a man who walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor sit in the seat of the scornful, nor walk in the way of the sinner. But his delight is in the law of the Lord. And in that law doth he meditate both day and night. And then he will be like a tree that is planted by the rivers of living water, who will bring forth fruit in its due season. This is what God's looking for. People who make this so much a part of their life that everything in their life evolves around this. Somebody said, oh, preacher, I'm not going to be that religious. It's not a religion. It's a relationship. It's getting so close to God that I know him. I have a friend in Mobile that we're close. Not putting any of my brothers down, but Eddie Brand's probably closer to me than my brothers. We spent a lot of time, been through a lot of stuff together. Even when he was pastoring in other states, two or three times a week, we'd talk on the phone, even before we had cell phones. He'd tell me, call me when you get home tonight, and I'd pull in the house at 12:30, 11:30, 1 o'clock, and I'd call him. We'd talk for an hour and a half, 2 hours on the phone. Or he'd call me in the middle of the day, and we'd talk. He won't talk about a problem, or if I needed to talk about a problem. And we got so close when he was in Mobile. Brother Merkovich was down there one day, and he said something about me. And Brother Merkovich and I were good friends when he was state overseer of Alabama. I worked on the council with him and served on several boards and committees for him. And he was talking to Eddie, and he knew Eddie and I were friends. He just didn't know how close. He said, buddy, when you get to the camp meeting, you might ought to come up and sit with me instead of Stroop. He said, why is that? He said, well, you know, you don't know how it could hurt your reputation. He said, well, Brother Merkovich, I wouldn't want to be with you because he's probably more popular than you are as far as I'm concerned. Glory. Amen. Merk called me the next morning. He said, are y'all that close? I said, well, I don't know. I said, sounds like it. Glory. So we was at camp meeting one day, and I stand there, and Eddie come walking up and hand me a book, and he said, I bought this for you. Murphy said, why do you think he'd like it? He said, I know him. Because we read the same things. I mean, it's sad. I'll go down there and be preaching sometimes, and I'll quote somebody, and he can tell you who it was because we read the same books. His son-in-law asked him one day, he said, do y'all think alike? He said, it's real bad. He said, we drive alike. We think alike. He said, we would sing alike, but he can't sing. Glory. But we know each other. Think about it, church. When you get close to somebody, Do you not really get close enough to know what they're thinking? I don't even have to order at some restaurants. If Frida's there, she's already got my order in. She knows what I'm going to drink, and at certain restaurants, she knows what I'm going to eat because I eat the same thing every time I go there. And she knows me. And if I really want to know Christ, then my mind is going to get so close to Him that I'm going to know Him. I don't know about y'all, but I don't want to follow Him afar off. I don't want to be one of them people who just tries to keep up from a distance. And I don't want to be one of the guys that goes to sleep while he's praying. I want to be the guy that follows Him to the judgment hall and stands at His feet while He's being crucified. I want to be the one disciple who laid His head on His chest because He's the only one who ever heard the heartbeat of God. And I want to hear His heartbeat. I want to hear it pumping in my ear when I'm close to Him. And if I want to do it, God will eventually allow that to happen. But not only me, but everybody in this building, if we get our mind where it ought to be, we can learn to know the very heartbeat of God. Stand with me all over the house. God, I love You. Oh, God, I believe You now to begin to reach into the hearts and lives of those under the sound of my voice. Lord, let us realize today the need in our life just to know You with all of our heart and our mind. In our spirit to know You. That nothing in this world is more important than knowing You. And if we know You, life would be so much better.